Amen. Well, good morning, everybody. You're all very welcome this morning to the house. What a great time of worship. Amen. Amen. Our God is good, isn't he? He's good. Good job with the communion, Jay. Amen. Do you like our fancy cups? What do you think of the fancy cups, huh? I thought I was getting a shot of the blood, huh? Amen. God bless whoever got them. Amen. This morning, I'm going to bring a word that the Lord put on my heart. And he put it on my heart about 2 weeks ago. And about 2 weeks ago, I didn't realize why he put it on my heart. And I'll unfold that as I go through the sermon this morning. It's a significant word, you know, and I believe the Lord wants me to bring it to the house this morning. So, Father, we thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for this house, Lord. Father, I thank that you've enabled me, Lord, to come and to speak this word for you, Lord God. And Lord, I ask that you would bless hearts here this morning, Lord God. That, Father, the hearts would be open to receive, Lord God. The hearts would be open to receive, Lord. And Father, we thank you, Father, for who you are, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God. Bless you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 You know, as I said, the Lord put this word on my heart about 2 weeks ago. It's significant this morning that we actually broke bread, you know, that we had a time of communion and, you know, we spoke about the blood and, you know, and that's something that I'm going to be speaking about this morning. You know, I'm going to be speaking about bread of life. I'm going to be speaking about the great I am. And, and I want to look at the sermon this morning and unlock the storehouse of God's supplies, because he has a storehouse of supplies for each and every one of us here. And it's up to us to unlock it. It's up to us to take hold of that and to go in and to unlock that storehouse that he has for us. And, you know, this time of year is, it's a busy time of year for folks. It's a busy time because people are jetting off on holidays and they're seeing different parts of the world, you know. And when you look at the world, there are many countries that have a lot of things in common. And some of those trademarks, some of those things that they have in common are the food, is the culture, is fashion, is surrounding beaches and beautiful sceneries. But one of the things that stands out for me is food. I love food. You know, but one of the things, as I said, it's food. And it's a requirement in a lot of countries, which is bread. Which is bread. You know, and in some form or other, it is a basic diet requirement in a lot of countries all over the world. You know, I've gone to visit Italy many times, and one of the good things they do good is bread. You know, they do it good, you know, and they have different forms of bread and different styles of bread and different tastes of bread. And one of the reasons for this, that bread is a requirement all over the world, is because it's cheap. And you know something, even the poor of the poorest can afford bread. And the other reason is it satisfies and it fills you up. And I began to think about this, you know, if we in this city, in Dublin City tonight, were to run short of bread, the city would probably go into a frenzy. You know, us ladies, we love our carbs, don't we? We love the carbs. But they don't love us so much, because they put the L weight on, don't they? But, you know, if this city was to be, you know, if the supply of bread was to be withdrawn, people would probably go into a frenzy. They would probably behave in a way that you would look and you would say, that's not them. You know, people eat bread because of its nutrition, and from it you get energy, and from it your body needs it. Your body is satisfied with bread. But you know, the bread of life is Jesus. He is the bread of life. And it says in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. And whoever comes to me will never be hungry. That's what he says. That's what his word says. You will never be hungry when you come to the bread of life. And it's such a statement of truth that what the Lord is saying is he's expressing a saving relationship for you and for I, because he is the bread of life. That's why he came. He satisfies the spiritual hungry. And if you're hungry here today, he will satisfy you. And you know what? This plays into a bigger scene. And the bigger scene is, it's in the scripture of Matthew 14:13-21. And I think it's going to be on the overheads, yeah? Okay. And if you have your Bible, turn with me here. And this is what happens in Matthew. And Matthew talks about a time when Jesus withdrew to be alone from the multitudes. Let's read it. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. And when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and he healed their sick. And as evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they go to the villages and buy themselves some food. Jesus replied, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. Bring them here to me, he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and he broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. And the number of those who ate was about 5,000 men. And that wasn't accounting for the women and the children that day. You know, here we see Jesus. He was he wanted to be alone. I'm losing my notes, sorry. And he wanted to withdraw to a private place, to a place of confinement, to a place of solidarity. And the reason he wanted to do that was because he had received news that John the Baptist had been beheaded. So Jesus was in grief and he wanted to go away and he wanted to be by himself. And that was okay. But what happened was the multitudes came. The people had been following Jesus for 3 days. And they came and they wanted to hang out with him and they wanted to be with him. And if you're taking notes this morning, this is the first point. And the first point is that Jesus was moved with compassion when he saw the people. And what he did was he put his own needs aside. And he was moved with compassion when he saw this multitude of people coming to him. And he was so moved with compassion that it caused him to heal the sick. It caused him to heal the demon possessed. It caused him to heal the people that were lacking. This is what moved him. He was moved with compassion. And he was so moved with compassion that it attracted a crowd. The crowd just wanted to be with him. They wanted to hang out with him. And it was the poor, it was the rich, it was the good, and it was the bad. These were the people that wanted to hang out with him. It was his compassion that caused him to hang out with 5,000 men that day. He wanted to hang out with them. And you know, this morning, it's the same compassion that comes to you and me here in this house. It's the same compassion that we sang about, that we've spoke about this morning. It's that same love. It's the same God that wants to come into your life and my life today. He wants to do something. It was the same compassion that caused his arms to be nailed to a cross, that the whosoever would embrace the provision and the supply of God, the storehouse of God. Jesus drew people. And you got to think about this. How did he draw people? What was it that people wanted to be with him? Why was it that they wanted to be with him? And you know, I just began to think, he must have been a delight to be around. Because you're not going to hang around with someone that's negative or someone that's someone that's a party pooper. But you know, he was a delight to be around. He was loving and he was caring. And he reached people in their sin. That's what Jesus did. He reached people in their sin because he wasn't afraid to go to the untouchables in society. For God so loved the world that he was moved with compassion for your hopeless future and for my hopeless future. He was moved with compassion. And you know, compassion, it goes much deeper. It's not about feeling sorry and, you know, he didn't feel sorry for the multitudes. That's not what compassion is. He didn't go, oh, woe is them. Oh, look at your man over there, your woman over there. It wasn't like that. But it was something deeper that moved within him. It was a sense of deep emotion that cannot be shut down. And you cannot shut it off. It was something that he was moved in by the Spirit. It was something that his Father gave him. You know, when Jesus embraced this crowd, he embraced it through his actions, through his love. He reached out and he gained popularity with the crowd because he went in and he mixed with the people. And that's how the people began to follow him. That's how the people were drawn to him. Because he wasn't afraid to get in and to get in with the down and outs, to get in and get dirty with the people. And out of that, he became a shepherd. He became a shepherd to them. He became a shepherd. Just like the way a shepherd watches over its flock. The way a shepherd will watch over the sheep. You see, Jesus, although he was in bereavement, he couldn't walk away from the multitudes. He couldn't walk away from them. Because he was after being with them for 3 days prior. And he found out about their needs. He found out about the pain that they were in. And he found out about the things that they were lacking. You know, that he was moved with compassion. And people were attracted to this. Because he poured out his love to them. He was love. God is love. And you know what? Times we might find people are a nuisance in society or people are a nuisance in church. And at times we have little patience and we lack compassion for them. But you know, today you can come and God can fill your cup up here today. The second point I want to bring out is, will you do something? Will you do something? Here we see the disciples telling Jesus to send the people away. And we could say they were lacking compassion. But in the practical, their attention was focused on what they didn't have. They didn't have resources of food and money to meet the enormous needs. They saw 5,000 people. They saw 5,000 headaches. That's what they saw. They saw 5,000 problems that they couldn't solve. And most of us would have said the same thing. Immediately, your mind clicks into the cost. You know, how are we going to do this? How are we going to feed all these people? We begin to calculate how many hours it's going to take. You know, what's the food bill going to be to take to feed all these people? And you know, before we know it, we have ourselves talked out of the project. Before we even begin, because we think that it depends on us. It's our human efforts. You know, we're quick to see what we can't do, and we're quick to talk about what we don't have. But Jesus offered the disciples a solution. He tells them Don't send the crowd away. Don't send them away. You give them something to eat. Will you do something? Will you reach out and give them something? And sometimes we operate like that in the body of Christ. And I'm talking about the body in general. We send people away. We send them away and we tell them, go get fed somewhere else. Go find your resources somewhere else. You know, a couple of years ago, I was in college and I was in Bible college and they got a pastor in into one of the lectures. And this pastor that came in, he wasn't from Ireland. He was from a different country. And he began to talk about what way he did church. And he began to explain to us, the class, how many they had attending the congregation. And it was a large amount. And there was a question posed to him. And the question was, what's the fruit like in your church? And he said, the fruit is okay, he said. But this is what grieved me and this is what got me. He said, we have many people coming through our doors, he said. We've many addicts coming through. We've many people with a lot of problems, a lot of drink problems and all that goes with that. And he said, but when we don't see fruit, he said, we send them off. He said, we send the addicts out, he said, after 3 months. 3 months he's looking for a turnaround on an individual's life. 3 months. And here was Jesus 3 days with the people and he couldn't send them away. And you know, I was grieved in my heart and I'm sitting eyeball to eyeball with this pastor. And I said to him, how can you do that? How can you send the people away? And he said, well, man, he said, that's what we do. And I've just given it away. He said, well, ma'am, he said, that's what we do. I said, but that's not what Jesus would do. Jesus wouldn't send them away. And the church that I'm involved in, we have a revolving door. It's a revolving door that anybody can come through. That's what Jesus says. Feed them. Feed my sheep. He said, feed the hungry. You know, it's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. It's by my spirit, says the Lord. Will you do something? Will you do something in society that you live in? Will you do something in the workplace that you work in now? Will you do something in the neighborhood that you live in? You know, when we hear, stories on the news, and there's been a story that's been plastered all over the newspapers this week. A story about a young girl who has been sold short. A young girl that was encouraged to perform sexual acts on a group of men for a holiday. It's been all over the papers. How do we react? How do we react? Are we moved by this? Do we become moved with compassion? Do we become moved with compassion for this young girl? Or do we become judgmental? Or become sister opinionated or brother opinionated and say she deserves it? Or do we become moved with compassion? Do we ask the Lord to release through our hands what is needed in this situation? Are we willing to do something for that young girl? Are we willing to share Jesus with many more that are similar to that young girl? Jesus says, will you do something? He said to his church, will you do something? Will you be the church that extends my hands to this lost generation? Will you be an extension of me? Will you be an extension of my voice? Will you be the one to go and to tell the people that I love them? You know, we have the great big day out coming up. And Sophie mentioned it earlier on. And it's coming up in 4 of our locations. And I began to think about this. You might have little and you might say, I don't have a lot to give. How can I give into the vision of liberty? And this is how you can give. Maybe you can paint nails for some young girl. That some young girl needs to hear the love of God while you're painting her nails. Maybe you can come and you can flip burger. And you can tell the guy that's full of tattoos how much Jesus loves him. Or maybe you can come and you can call out bingo numbers for our senior citizens. Who wants to do the numbers for the senior citizens? Or maybe you can come and you can play games with the little children. The little children that are possibly fatherless or motherless in our society. The little children that are going to gather over here on the 2nd of August. Maybe you can come and you can give your little. Because when you give your little, God turns it into much. And here's the third point. I shall not be in want. Over and over again, Jesus puts us in situations where we are helpless. And he says, do something. Just like the disciples, he wouldn't let them off the hook. He wouldn't let them off the hook. He wanted them to get involved. And it's still the same today. God wants us to still get involved. And they come back with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he orchestrates the multitudes to sit down in groups of 50s and 100s. That's how our God sees us. And that's how orderly our God is. And he looks towards heaven. And he gives thanks and he blesses what's in his hands. He blesses what he has. And he gives thanks to the Father for what's in his hands. From the power of his hands, the storehouse of God's provision is unlocked. From the same power of his hands, he's able to calm raging seas and raging storms. From the power of his hands, he could cause a blind man to see. From the power of his hands, he could hold bread and fish and see it miraculously multiplied and feeding over 5,000 people. From the power of his hands, he caused leftovers. And from the power of these same hands, do you know something? He could have snapped his fingers and said, let everybody have a meal in front of them right now. But he didn't. Instead, he gave. He gave. And he gave to his disciples to distribute the food to the people. And in this way, the disciples, they had to trust. They had to put everything into his hands and trust him. They could only give as they received. It was total dependency upon the Lord for their supply. Can you imagine? Lord, we need another basket. Going up to him, Lord, we need another basket of fish and we need another basket of bread. And the Lord saying, no problem. I care about these people. I care about the multitude. Nothing lacks with me. And we might ponder this question and we might ask, why did he bother to feed the people? He could have easily sent them away. He could have easily told them, listen, go ahead and go to the nearest burger joint or the nearest KFC, whatever's beside you. But Jesus doesn't ignore the needs of his people. He didn't turn away. He is concerned with every aspect of your life here today. Every single detail of your life, he is concerned about. And your breakthrough is when you come to him with little and you trust it into his hands and know that the good shepherd will care for you. You see, the problems are never too large for God. He is God. And the problem comes when we get inside our head. That's when the problem comes. And we begin to dissect it. And we begin to say, how can that work in? How's that going to work out in the natural? How's it going to work out? And we begin to try and project this in our own heads. We begin to let human thinking take over. And we begin to say to ourselves, God's not going to meet my needs. God's not going to meet every need that I have in my life. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. You know, the psalmist says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. Will you allow God to work something in your life that you may be lacking here today? And maybe you're lacking hanging out with Christians because you feel you don't measure up. You know, I used to look at people and you say, I want to be like them. I want what they have. But maybe inside your head, you're saying, I don't want to, I can't mix with them because I don't measure up. Jesus hung out with them. Jesus hung out with the sinners. And maybe you're lacking compassion towards the drunk in the street or the underage teenager who's pregnant. Will you allow God to come and to work compassion through you? I work in town, and when I'm travelling into town, I come down to Drumcondra. And over these weeks, I've seen this lady. And this lady is, she's homeless. That's the way it looks. She looks as if she's homeless. And she's in tattered clothes. Her clothes are just in tatters. She's dirty. Her hair is filthy. Her face is filthy. And every day when I see this woman, she's wheeling a buggy. And she has her few bits in the buggy. And this woman looks about 60 or 70 years of age. And the Lord said to me that morning, I want you to speak about compassion. Because it's for the likes of that woman that we have to go out and reach the lost. The likes of that woman that we have to go as a church and reach out with our little and tell her about Jesus. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. When we allow God, our shepherd, to guide us, we have contentment. He will bring us through to the green meadows and the peaceful streams. We reach these places only when we follow him. You know, when the natural sheep are completely dependent on the shepherd for provision and for guidance and for protection. When we give God our little, we shall never, never be in want. Because his power is to sustain us. His power is to satisfy us. It's his presence in us that will help us. Don't despise the small things in life. Because the small things, God can work with them. This can be significant to God. You see, God means business. The storehouse of God's supply is unlocked when you and I allow compassion of God to become part of our hearts. When we become obedient to the life of Christ, which is to be moved out from within us, that we allow Christ in us be moved out into this society and into our neighborhoods, into our workplaces, into our families, that we model Jesus to the unsaved. If you lack compassion, you've got to ask Jesus. You've got to ask him to fill your cup. You've got to ask him. You know, there's nothing wrong if you don't have compassion for people. There's nothing wrong with that. This is something that you grow into. It's something that the Lord will work in you. When you leave here today, you will actually discover what you actually believe. And when the moment of a crisis comes and Jesus says to you, give them something to eat. Jesus is saying what he said to his disciples in the wilderness. These people are hungry. Will you feed them? Will you give them something? Will you give them what they're lacking? Will you give them what I can give them? Will you do something? Will you give them something to eat? Will you tell them about all that I can give them? I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. You see, he's a river of love, and his compassion can go to the lowest situation in your life. to the greatest need in your life, or the greatest weakness in your life, or the greatest failure in your life. His compassion can go there if you let him. And I'm closing now. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back. Amen. And I'm going to ask every head to be bowed and every eye to be closed here this morning. Amen. Is there anybody here in this room that doesn't know Jesus today? Have we anybody that doesn't know him? Praise God, we all know him. Amen. And this is what I want to pray over us as a congregation. That the Lord would release through our hands and our voice what's needed for the person that you meet when you leave here today. That the Lord would speak through you. Our God reigns. That's what we sang here today. Our God reigns. He covers it all. And if you need compassion for a homeless old lady, ask God to fill your cup. If you need compassion for the drunkard or for the pregnant teenager, ask God to fill your cup. You see, he says, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. When you come to me, you will never hunger and you will never thirst. And when you stretch out your hands to me, I will give you what you lack. So if you want to stretch out your hands here today, in some symbolic way, or stand, or come to the front, whatever you lack today, God will give you what you need. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never thirst, will never hunger again, because I will satisfy you. I will satisfy you, says the Lord God Almighty. Says the Lord God Almighty. When he was up on the hillside, and when he held the fish and the bread out to his father, and he said, Lord, bless them. Bless this food that I place before you. The Lord wants to bless you, my people, today, he's saying. I want to bless you, my people. And he wants to pour out and lavish his love upon you today. So, Father, I thank you for your people, Lord God. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that, Father, that we never have to lack as a people, Father. That, Father, that we can come, Father, and that you open the storehouse, Father. That you have all the supplies, Father. Father, what we lack, Father, you can give us, Lord God. Father, if we lack love, fill us up right now, Father. Fill us up with compassion for people out in our society, Lord God. Father, fill us this day, Lord God. Holy Spirit, come and deposit right now in your people that which they lack. Father, we love you today. And Father, we thank you that you reign, Father God. That you reign, Father. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Jesus. Jesus. Let's stand and worship.